Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Shouse, and this is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about in the middle of this week, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, we are privileged to record at a really big table, but we're back in our studio. We're more than 6 feet apart, but it is so good to actually be back where we can do this as easy and most productively as possible.
It's good to have our listeners with us. These last few weeks have put us in a lot of different places. We have some recordings from our closets, and we've been here and we've been there. We bought new equipment. We've done a little bit of everything just to try to keep this going and make it the best we can. But we are so happy to be back in our studio. We love our studio.
We do. We do. And we appreciate you hanging with us. We know that it sounded a little different over the course of the last couple of weeks, but it has been so encouraging to hear from so many of you that more than anything, you appreciate the content. And that's what it's all about. It is about opening God's Word and finding fuel. And we try and make it as professional sounding as possible. We appreciate your interest in the content and sticking with us. Roger, let's talk about what's going on this week here in our church family.
Well, last Sunday you had the honor of preaching, and you took your lesson from the book of Ezekiel. You are also teaching Ezekiel on Sundays and Wednesdays. And to all of our listeners, those lessons are being videotaped, and the material is available, and you can go to our website and catch up with all those things. This will carry over to this coming week, too, because I'm also going to borrow a thought here from the book of Ezekiel. But you used Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 5, where God told the prophet to go preach to stubborn people. And verse 5 says, "As for them, whether they listen or not, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them." And you did an amazing job of just walking us through several different passages to talk about the idea of among you and that concept. And so over in chapter 3, as you kind of carried over in your lesson there, you talked about the duty of the watchman. And so today I thought we'd just stretch two thoughts. We would stretch this idea of the watchman, and then we would talk a little bit about this idea of people knowing that we are a Christian among them. How do we show that? The idea of the watchman, of course, comes from the idea of a walled city and the idea of someone standing up on that wall while life went on down below. And we would may call them sentries or things like that. They oftentimes in these ancient castles and palaces, they would have towers and they would have people up there around the clock, and they were just scanning the horizon, just watching. And when they saw the dust blowing up there and they saw troops coming and they realized that this was an army invading, they would blow their trumpets. And so the idea in chapter 3 is you are the watchman, Ezekiel. And if you see danger coming and you don't warn the people and they die, you are going to be held responsible. You didn't do your job. You were the watchman. But then he takes the other side of that, and if you blow the trumpet, you warn the people, but the people don't believe. They're just going to go on their own way, and they die. Well, that's their problem. It wasn't you're not at fault. You did what you're supposed to do. And so that idea carries all through the New Testament of the idea of a watchman or warning. We have warnings all about us, these nice summer days. We've been getting outside and doing some work in the yard. And if you have a power tool, there's all kinds of stickers and labels on there warning you how to use them. Some warnings you think are obvious, such as do not hold your chainsaw while it's running. You know, it's, you can only imagine that. Most hair dryers will have warnings not to use them in the shower. You know,
there's probably a story behind every warning.
There's probably a story behind them all. You know, we have warnings in our cars and everything. But God's Word has warnings. And just as the warnings in life on all these products are there to keep us safe, so does God's word. And the responsibility of God's people are to tell others about these warnings. And so I want to use that idea and kind of look at some verses that kind of help us to see that. And so we begin over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. There, as Paul is telling the young man Timothy about his role of preaching, he says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." And that verse really carries two thoughts to us as we think about the watchman. First of all, there's the idea of there's a time for people want this. It's in season. We know what it is to find certain fruits or vegetables when they're in season. When they're out of season, you can't find them. Out of season here spiritually simply means that people aren't interested. They don't want that. But he was still to preach the word. You're still to warn whether the people are interested or not, whether they want it or not. And then he uses three words, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those first two words, the R words, are kind of negative. They're about warnings. But God wants us to be engaged in that and to do that. In the book of Jude, it talks about snatching someone out of fire. In the book of James, it talks about turning a sinner from his ways. And the book of Galatians, it talks about you who are spiritual, restore such a one. So God has placed upon the righteous, his people, this idea of being a watchman. And so many times, that's where we fail. We don't want to get involved. It's not my job, we say. And we say to ourselves or we say to someone else, you know, I can see this marriage coming apart. And when it comes apart, oh, I saw it coming. But did you say anything? Did you do anything? Did you warn anybody? Here's somebody, and they're slowly slipping and slipping away from God. Well, it won't be long, and they're not going to be here. Well, do you do anything? Do you warn them? The duty of the watchman is to blow that trumpet.
One of the things I think that comes through loud and clear in that Ezekiel passage is if people have a problem with the warning, the one who has been charged with sounding the warning cannot afford to be ashamed, right? We kind of halfway chuckled that there's probably a story behind every warning. Those warnings are there to keep us out of danger. They are advertising objective reality. And so when I run across a warning sign in Florida not to wade in some shallow, swampy water, that's not there just to keep me from having fun. That's not there just to, you know, dampen the good times that I might have. There is objective reality, real danger behind doing that. You know, if I hear a tornado warning siren, that's not there just to be a source of annoyance to me. That is sounding an objective reality that can cost me everything. And so that's a principle that I think is really important for us in the 21st century to grasp. God has drawn some clear lines in the sand. It is our responsibility to humble ourselves beneath his mighty hand, not be ashamed of those, respond to them ourselves, allow them to shape us and confine us and guide us, and then share them. We speak the truth in love, but if we are ashamed of the warnings, we're not doing anybody any favor. And the principle there in Ezekiel 2 is we, as those who know the truth, will be held responsible.
And we really got to wonder, do you really love somebody if you see them heading towards danger and you don't say anything? You know, years ago, my wife and I, we were driving in Arizona. And as I was driving, I saw this sign, "Watch out for elk, next 20 miles. Well, here in Indiana, the only place you see elk is in the zoo. So, you know, I was amazed about that. Very next sign I saw, watch for falling rocks next 20 miles. Another sign, watch for deer. And I told my wife, I said, can you watch the road? Because I'm looking for all these things, sis. That can be a real problem in this. You know, Isaiah also brings out this idea of the watchman. And in Isaiah chapter 56, in verse 10, as he's talking about the leaders there, says, his watchmen are blind. Let's just stop there for a minute. Can you imagine having a blind guy up there watching your city? He can't see anything. That's the worst person to have up there. It's like a deaf guy doing a sound check. He can't do that. It's just not possible. So he says, his watchmen are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs unable to bark. The old King James Version there uses the expression dumb dogs. Not dumb, not being intelligence, but the inability of being able to bark. So here's this guy. He has this watchdog. And a watchdog never barks. Burglar can come in the house and leave, and the dog just wags his tail. What a useless watchdog that is. Or here's someone else who has a watchdog, and his dog barks all the time. He barks every time a cloud goes over the house. He's always barking. Well, again, there's no warning in that. Or here's somebody has this dog, and the burglar comes in and leaves, and then the dog starts to bark. He barks too late. So the idea of giving warnings is giving it at the proper time so a person can make the adjustments and make changes in his life so he can be pleasing to God. And, you know, some of this seems a bit negative as we think about telling somebody or warning somebody. But God does it for our good. God uses us to tell our stories so others don't have to follow and make the same mistakes. That's what parents do. We train our children, and we remind them of some of the mistakes we have made. Sometimes we went to the wilderness. And in doing that, it helps them become strong and be what God wants them to be. Great principle there that we are the watchmen of God. We know as God has organized the local congregation, shepherds fulfill that duty. They are overseers. They are watching the flock. But within each home, that's what dads do. Dads are watching over their flock, and their flock is their little family. And they are to see that they're growing in the Lord and that they're developing and they're doing what God wants them to do. But to all of us who are Christians, God places this upon us that we are not just, you know, independent of each other. We're connected. We're family. And by that connection in Jesus, we watch out for each other. We have each other's back. We encourage, we support, we defend, and we also warn as God wants us to.
The idea there in Ezekiel 2, the people will know. If you tell the truth, they may or they may not believe you. They may or may not believe the same things that you believe. They may not respond the way God wants, but they will know. You have been a spokesman of God. That's a principle that also carries over into the New Testament. Acts chapter 4 was a passage that came to your mind, Roger, that speaks closer to us as Christians.
There it says in verse 13, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. That's a second great principle that we need to talk about, that people can recognize that we have been with Jesus. We're talking about shaking the salt and shining the light. We're talking about our influence. Now, in some religious cultures, it's done by appearance. So where I live, and just very close to where I live, you see signs about buggies, and you see people with beards with no mustaches, and the clothing is very plain. We call them Amish, and we recognize them by the clothing they wear. Well, here, as we look at the New Testament, we're not talking about the Christians staying apart because they dress differently. What we're seeing is a character difference. Jesus is in their hearts, and that Jesus in their heart is going to be manifested by the way they act, by the way they treat others. And by the way that they handle themselves in a crisis like we're in right now with this coronavirus, that, you know, people are now have moved past fear. Now we're into the complaining stage. All over Facebook, we find people just complaining and complaining about this and about that and this and that. And people recognize you because you're different. There's a calm about you. There's a positive nature about you. There's a hopefulness about you. Those are some of the things that we see here.
Sure. When I think of people recognizing that either Peter and John in Acts 4 or we have been with Jesus, the first thing that stood out to those men in that particular context was their boldness, right? These were a part of that small band of closest disciples who had run away in the Garden of Gethsemane and followed perhaps at a distance. Now they're bold. They have this calm confidence. And when they are quizzed about that, of course, they make clear, even to these religious authorities, their calm confidence is not in themselves. It's in God who raises the dead, right? That was what they were grounded in. But I think about even Peter here. He's one of the two that is specifically mentioned in Acts 4. How did you know that he had been with Jesus? He had his past failures put into a different sort of perspective, right? It is one thing to read what Peter said and did in the Gospels, and another thing entirely to read 1 and 2 Peter. The past hadn't been erased, but those past failures had been put into perspective by what he describes in 1 Peter 1 as living hope. These men had been with Jesus, and they had a living hope grounded in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here he is in 1 Peter 1 writing to anybody willing to listen, we can all be born again to a living hope. Uneducated or highly educated, common or elite in the eyes of the world, we can all share in this living hope, and we can all come to be a part of this beautiful unity. You know, you go back and you see the dynamic that Jesus includes in his apostles. You've got Matthew, a tax collector, and Simon, a zealot, and Peter, a fisherman, and on and on. But all brought together, and now in the New Testament age, promoting a beautiful unity because they had been with Jesus.
And that Jesus had made a change. And as you said, with Peter personally, I mean, here's one who denied the Lord 3 times. Here's one who abandoned Jesus to the cross. And he didn't just think, okay, I'm done. I'm ruined forever. There he is. And through these sections in Acts 4, Acts 5, all the way up to like Acts 11 and 12, Peter's in and out of prison multiple times. Multiple times he stands before the city officials, and multiple times he's warned, quit preaching Jesus. And he keeps preaching Jesus. He's not afraid anymore. He's not afraid of prison. He's not afraid of the threats that they're giving to him, because he knows the Lord is the risen Savior, and that has changed his life. And so from that, we have to ask ourselves, as we think about that wonderful statement about the idea that Ezekiel said that there's a prophet among you, you will recognize that. Does my family recognize that I'm a Christian? Now, the family may be beyond just our immediate homes. We may talk about brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, grandparents. Do they recognize that I have been with Jesus and he changed me? We think about coworkers, and as we start loosening things up, we start thinking about going back to work, going back to those relationships where we've had them. Do they recognize that I have been with Jesus? Does it show? You know, if I was to tell somebody, you know, what did you do on the weekend? And say, well, you know, I went to church services. Well, that's shock. Would they expect that from me? Or is that shocking to them? Because does my nature manifest that I've spent some time with the Lord?
I think it's so fascinating to see the living connection from the principal in Ezekiel 2 to someone like Peter in Acts chapter 4, and how God uses him in what we have as 2 Peter 3 to ask, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and sanctification? What God is doing in 2 Peter 3 is using Peter as a watchman. There was a day of the Lord that was coming in Ezekiel's day against the city of Jerusalem, and there is a great day of the Lord coming when everything that we know in this physical creation is going to pass away. We're going to stand before the Lord God Almighty, and that means we need to be thinking now about what sort of people we ought to be. I appreciate you taking the time to walk back through that past Sunday morning. You've got the privilege. You're lined up for this Sunday.
And we've already got things pretty much locked and loaded. We are going to record it here pretty soon. It will be another video. We're not quite to the point yet where we can assemble, but we're getting close, we hope. And so I'm going to borrow some thoughts from Ezekiel 3, verse 15, where Ezekiel was sitting among the refugees, a common expression in that book. And the idea that I sat where they sat. And we're going to talk about four common denominators among all of us. And hopefully it'll be some thoughts that you can glean from, some things will help you, some things you can share with others as we journey together with God's Word.
Lord willing, it will all be available at charlestownroad.org. There is just an absolute wealth of resources, audio, video, reading material, all sorts of things. Please continue to help us spread the word about that. Roger, I appreciate you joining me today, and we appreciate all of you continuing to grow with us and reflecting on this past week. We're already looking forward to Sunday. It is still absolutely the best day of the week. We would love to have you tune in to charlestownroad.org and continue growing with us. Have a great day.